summertime is upon us. We set these schedules so far back, you know, like 4 months before. And so we have this summer sermon series when it's been so gorgeous outside. It's like summer came early this year. But still, we are finally entering into summer. And who is excited about that? Surprisingly, I expected more noise from that side, but, you know, as I kind of start this message today, I really kind of wanted to hear, what are the excitements of summer for you? What are the, you know, some people are like, I really am not so much into summer for other reasons. What are the positives? What are the negatives? What are the things you're anxious and looking forward for? What are the things that you're a little, about? I'm kind of curious. So let me know what's going on.
Vacation.
Yes. Do you know where you're going yet? Or you just, doesn't matter. We're just going.
Mount Vernon.
Oh, Mount Vernon. Nice. Like it. Like it. Been there. Awesome.
Motorcycle rally.
Motorcycle rally. Yes. That'll be fun. What else? Sunshine.
Building.
Oh, moving. I'm like, you're building something? You seem a little young. Moving. Very exciting. What do you? What? Oh, building.
School's out.
Summer. What else? Sleeping in. Oh, big. National Youth Gathering. Oh, yeah, exciting time. In the back.
Camping.
Oh, nice. What else? This side doesn't have anything. You're not looking forward to anything. It's too hot there. Finally, someone giving a negative. It's going to be a hot summer, I have a feeling.
The heat of Arkansas
is now coming to this place. A little nervous, yeah. Missions. Yeah, there's missions going on. What do you think? You, hand up. Swimming in the pool. Gardening. Yeah, good stuff. Well, go ahead. Drama camp. Yeah. I mean, we could talk about this, for there are so many things that go on in the summertime, and it really is kind of, for most of us, whether it's because we're getting our kids at home, woohoo! Ah, same thing for you parents, whether it's kids, woohoo! Done with school, some kids, oh, we're going to miss all the people that we know. I mean, there's so many things going on in the summertime. It's sort of a different phase of the year. Even for people at work, I hear people all the time, we get a vacation in the summer. Work sort of lets down a little for some of you. Some of you, it gets crazy, but that's okay. Summer is a great time. And as we talk about summer, I kind of wanted to start at what we read in Psalm chapter 4, chapter 46. Be still. Be still. And know that I am God. You know, summer sometimes is relaxing, and sometimes it's so full and so busy and so many trips, going to see family, so many things happening, so many opportunities, and yet God calls to us this tremendous statement, be still and know that I am God. You know, as we're getting ready for summer, I was kind of processing through what do I like about summer now? You know, because I'm like most people. I love the sunshine, and I know summer will hit, and I'll be like, it's too hot. And my kids are off. I get so much time with kids, and it's like, I need a break from kids. And it's, you know, there's so many things. I think, what is it that I'm really 100% looking forward to this summer? And, you know, as a young kid, me and my brothers, you know, I have two brothers, we'd be out playing, baseball all the time in the backyard. We had a huge backyard with a garden, with just fields behind, and so we'd be playing baseball like mad for summer. Do I live in a place that can play baseball? Not really. I've got a backyard, but it's pretty small. I mean, I was a guy who went out and played sports like mad. Do I seem to love to go run and play sports now? Not so much. I used to watch them on TV. I don't have cable, so I don't even get baseball on TV anymore. I mean, I was thinking through, what is summer? What is summer so exciting for me about? And I kind of realized something different about myself. I love and am obsessed with our garden. We don't have a big garden. I'm not a very good gardener. I don't really know what I'm doing. But I love it. I love it. You know, before summer began, we planted the seeds. And, you know, I water every day. Every day. Zip out. Put water on the seeds. Sometimes come back from work like, we need more water. Got to water. I mean, I love it, and I'm enjoying it. I just enjoy this time just watching the garden grow. You know, picking the weeds. Got to clear a space. And I enjoy it. Getting dirty. And I love it. And it's kind of a funny thing because as we talk about this reality of summer, there is this book, John, Jesus' words to his disciples as he's preparing for his death and his resurrection. He comes to his disciples and he says tremendous things for us to remember for ourselves as we go into our summer. He says this, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it is attached to the vine, neither can you unless you are attached." This is a big deal. It goes on and it says in verse 5, "I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." Maybe it's a new thought for you going into summer. God has his plans. You have your opportunities in the summer. Do it in him. The God who has strength, the God who uses every moment, every vacation, every break from school. God's not done. In fact, he says, "I am the strength, I am the direction, I'm the one who is there to give you something great." I mean, I plant my garden, and as someone that is a bit of not a very good taking care of the garden, you know, I try to clear it up of all the the ugly things that have grown over the summer. I don't take care of it. I'm bad. We get time to plant, and I plant, and guess what I do? I pray like mad. Lord, I really want carrots. I plant tons of carrots and beans. Those are the two biggies. Lord, may they grow, Father. Please, Lord, may they grow. I planted them, but, you know, we have bugs that come and eat. We have things that happen to the garden. Protect my garden, Lord. I give it so much time and energy, but you are the one who provides. You, Lord, are the one who's given us the opportunities, given us the talents, given us the breaks, given us a family, given us so much. And God is the one that we strive to lean on him, especially in this summer season. And, you know, as I was processing through this. One of the things that kind of grabbed hold of me, I was looking up different verses, and I found the first of the Psalms, Psalm chapter 1, and it's powerful. It says, blessed is the man, not the one that has this, not the one that does this, not the one that does this. He says, blessed is the man, all right? And it means women, too. I'll just say that. But blessed is the person who delights in the law of the Lord. And on his law, he meditates day and night. Right? And then he kind of goes into this garden talking. It says, he is like a tree planted by the streams of water that, you know, they bear much fruit. This is tremendous. That this is what God intends for us. To understand that we're never alone. We're in the garden of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he is the one who is growing in us. He is the one who makes us shine. Who uses us to bear fruit. That our lives are not purposeless. Our lives are not just getting through. God uses us in mighty ways to accomplish things beyond even our ability. For we're not the ones that do it. He doesn't send us. He leads us. And he leads us in powerful ways. Now, there's no question, you know, growth is what I look forward most when I plant my seeds. I want to see it grow. Understand, as Christians, the God who loves you, the God who's died for you, the God who forgives you everything, he wants to see you grow. He wants to see you grow. And that's what the garden is. I find it often, many times, who go through the struggles of life, they're like, oh my goodness, am I getting punished for my bad choice? Oh, I've made so many mistakes. Does God hate me? And the answer is, no. God loves you. He's died for all your mistakes. We just had communion. You're completely washed. God is not ever allowing difficult things in our life to punish us. Sometimes, though, he wants us to grow. I'm sure those of you who are parents have had these experiences where you need your children to grow, and so you have to allow some challenges in their life. I see lots of parents going, yeah. And this is what God does in our lives. And there's no question. You know, this summer, my wife and I and kids are all going to Hoonah, Alaska, which we're very excited for. Excited to go up to Hoonah to these people that we've, you know, sponsored and helped and been involved with but never met. These people that we have been going to for, I think it's 17 years now, the same people, St. Luke's, that we know. Me going on a mission trip with my kids who have never been on a mission trip. Me going on a mission trip with my wife. We've both done mission trips but never done them together. And I know what's going to happen. God's going to use us as we do this VBS for the people up in Hoonah. And you know who's going to grow even more through it? Probably me and my kids and my family. Because I can tell you, when you allow God to use you, when you follow where he leads, you grow. You grow so much. And it's not just mission trips. God has his missions for each and every one of us. Some of you are going to see family. You ever know that this is now an opportunity for you to love them as God has loved you, especially those family members who don't walk with God as they should. I mean, this is the time of year where I go outside and I'm like, hey, neighbor, haven't talked to you in 6 months. Maybe 9 months. It's been a long time. Because kids are out. And it's unbelievable how the opportunities rise. You kids at work, oh, working finally. There are opportunities that arise. Summer is summer, but it has things that God plans for us. And how critical it is for us in the summertime, which is less pressury, but just as busy, if you ask me, that we start each day. We start each day in prayer. We ask for God to open our eyes, to see the opportunities that we have to share. Now, I got to start my sermon, so that was all the intro. Just saying. If you want to follow along, I'm going into 2 Corinthians chapter 2. This is always been a tremendous section of verses right here that says so much to us about what God is trying to help us see, and to me this is so relatable. So chapter 2, verse 15, and it starts with Paul kind of talking about the fact that, you know, he's not quite at peace where he's at, and he deals with this, and he follows where God leads, and God opens it up. And he has these things to share with the people of God, and he says this: "For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing." And this is the truth. We are the aroma of God. It doesn't matter whether you are in church. It doesn't matter whether you are at home. Wherever you are the very aroma, the smell of God to the people around you. Do you see yourself in that way? Do you recognize that God is using you and you smell like Jesus? That's good, trust me, Jesus. And it's quite a statement, you know, I think about it all the time, because the aroma of something is something that sometimes people like and sometimes people don't like. For example, like when we had the garden back home, my mom, you know, she had us kids going out and cleaning up the garden on occasion, you know, get rid of the weeds and do the things. And as kids, we're like, oh, there's so much work to do. But what really kind of drove me a little nuts, there are some things that are delicious in a garden, and there are some things I do not like. And my mom always planted things that I did not like. And then I have to go weed it. Did I want to weed it? No. In fact, sometimes I'd like leave weeds, hoping it wouldn't grow. Because my mom would bring it in and put it in everything, you know? Everything. And it's the kind of food I don't like. And this is the point, you know, what's your aroma to the world in which you live? As a Christian, people who sense you, people who smell you. And it's not the smelling of your underarm, all right? It's the smelling of Christ's presence in you. And let me tell you, sometimes through this, people smell this joy that we have in Christ, this hope that we have in Christ, and it brings them, and they actually come and receive Christ through you. God uses you to have someone open their heart and lives to the gift of the most wonderful Savior. But guess what? When you're out there, you have some people that think that you stink. You have people who are so resistant to the God who made them that you stink to them. But this is what God is, this is what Paul is saying to us. He's saying, look, you are the aroma of Christ. It doesn't matter whether you're trying to be or not. You carry Christ in your life. Your aroma matters. People will view you in different ways. God will use you in mighty ways. And sometimes there are those who are nasty toward you because you bear the aroma of Christ. Now, as he continues on in verse 16, I love this. To one, a fragrance from death to death. To the other, a fragrance from life to life. This is a powerful statement, which I don't think a lot of you have really gone into the depth of what this means. This is pretty powerful. What does it mean that to some, your aroma is a, you know, is a something that leads from death to death? Why two deaths? Why not just death and life? What's two lives about? And it's really strong in its point. It talks about those who do not have this, right? Those who fragrance is all about death. I'm sure you've met people like that. People who are pretty depressed, people who are always disappointed, never hopeful, you know, a little bit on the death side. It's never going to work. And you know why people are that way? They're not fake. I can tell you, the people that are most negative that I've dealt with in my life are people who have been disappointed so many times, people who have been abused, people who have been hurt, people who have experienced the brokenness of the world in which we live. Death. Death, that's what this life feels like for many people. And it's from death to death that we live in this broken world. My life is a mess. Everything doesn't work out. And someday I'm going to die. Death of this life to death forever. Now, there is another option. Life to life. You know, you go into the Greek, and it's powerful. It talks about that word Zoe, which I mention Zoe a lot. But Zoe helps you understand what this is saying. This isn't saying life to life, I'm born and I'm going to live for a long time. No, this is life to life in Christ. It's not birth, in Christ, in baptism, in coming and receiving Christ as Savior of your life. He comes and makes you alive. The Spirit of God is in you. This life has purpose. This life has meaning. God uses you in mighty ways. God equips you, changes you in ways that you never thought you could. This is Zoe. This is life in Christ. And life and life. There is life after death. We struggle with the loss to this world, but we are so grateful that in Christ, who rose again, we too will rise again. There is life waiting for us. And this is what he's trying to hit. And this is powerful. Are we death thinkers or are we life thinkers? Do we hold on to death or do we hold on to life? And you can say, oh yeah, we hold on to life, we're Christians. Well, it's funny that, you know, this is what Paul actually ends this statement with. He says, who's sufficient? You know what that is? Sufficient? Who's able? Who's good enough at this? Who's able? Who's able to get this? You know, you say this is the answer, right? Zoe's the answer. How do you get it? Who's good enough? Who would God choose to use in mighty ways? Verse 17. For we are not like so many, right? Peddlers of God's word. We aren't out there sharing God's word because it wins us something. We're not out there peddling, you know, trying to force people to accept Christ. That's not who we are. We are broken people. We are people. And when I say we, I mean me. We are broken people. He goes on and says, but as men of sincerity, right? As people who are sincere, we share truth. We share truth. We don't lie. We just share truth. As commissioned by God. This is the line that hits me so hard. You, summer's coming. God has commissioned you, right? This is not talking just to this. He says, as you who are commissioned by God, sent by God, right? You who have the aroma of Christ, he sends you out wherever you are, whether it's work, whether it's neighbor, whether it's vacation place, God is sending you. And what does he say? In the sight of God, we speak. We speak. We tell the world of the God who loves us, the God who loves them. We dare to not just stink of Christ, but to share the truth. So summer is coming, right? My garden, it's growing. God has something he longs for us to grow in this summer. He wants us to bring people to the garden, to share the incredible gift and good news of Christ with people around us. And it's not for us to accomplish great things. No, we simply do it and trust in the Lord our God. We do it because we care about people. We do it because it's the truth. Summer. Oh. Is an incredibly enjoyable thing. Don't see this as a pressure. Don't see this as a push. It's having the joy in your heart, the love that you have, walking with the Lord, growing in him, and daring to share because you are his people in this world. I love this concept of the aroma. I know I probably smell bad already, but in Christ, there's so much that God wants for us to walk through this life understanding that we are something that can be smelled, tasted, understood. And like I am so excited to go home today, water my garden, watch my carrots just growing so great, and my beans like not growing at all. You know, even when I go out in my garden, I talk to my neighbor because God's put it on my heart. I'm his aroma out there. You're his aroma out there. Share that truth of God. In Jesus' name, amen.